Hello and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship and those who have gone out from our fellowship. I'm Todd Chipman, one of the elders at MCC, and I am so happy today to have David and Lauren Dickinson on the Voices of MCC podcast. David and Lauren were members of MCC for a couple of years before the Lord called David to First Baptist Church in Neodesha, Kansas. David and Lauren, great to have you.
Great to be on here with you.
Thank you.
It's a timely podcast here because it was about 2 years ago that, David, you were hired. You were a student at MBTS, and we had been friends. You'd been in some classes I taught, and we had gone to conferences together, SBL conference here in Missouri, and we attended ETS together, connected out in Rhode Island, and along the way, the Lord brought you to MCC and got to connect with us and preach and teach and lead in different ways. And then as you were looking for work, the Lord called you to Neodesha. Now, some folks from MCC will remember that, praying for you and kind of looking at different options. Some listening may not know that story. So just catch us up. What the Lord did to direct you to Neodesha now almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story because Neodesha originally reached out to me, what was it, probably a year before they contacted me again?
I'd say like 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a year. Well, that's right. So they contacted me right after I had signed a contract to teach at FCA, Faith Christian Academy. And so I was like, well, great. I'm signed on to teach for a full school year. So I can't take a pastorate until that's over with, obviously. So they reached out to me then. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm still interested, you know, toward the end of that contract. And sure enough, they were still looking toward the end of that time. And then they gave me a call back. And I had completely forgotten about them. I just figured they would find someone else and go that direction. And it was sort of an interesting way, I think, that the Lord kind of showed us, okay, this is in my plan. There were several other churches that could have worked out that didn't, and then that one sort of against all odds did. So
it's just looking back at that, comical to think you'd kind of forgotten about it, and
right,
looking on in the Lord's providence leading you there, and now a couple of years and working that through. I remember their commitment to finding a pastor and their concern for you, because they drove during a snowstorm, I think, to come and hear you preach at MCC. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the storm was just coming in, and so it was about to hit when they were heading back.
Yeah, I still remember that night and seeing them there interviewing you, and we had been praying, and I'm just excited that you are there. Folks from MCC will remember your teaching gifts, and I know them from MCC and also MBTS. You've served adjunctively in teaching and your gifting in that regard. And I know the church there is blessed, and with your shepherding. When I think about pastoral ministry lately, I've been reflecting a good bit, just even in our own church context, on 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Paul writes that he urged Timothy to stay in Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus when he went to Macedonia, so that he would command certain people not to teach other doctrine or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote speculation. And he says, the goal of our instruction is love, love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And thinking about your teaching gifts there, and your opportunity to love people and shepherd them along the way. and lead your family as well. Lauren, it's great to have you here with us so folks can catch up on family life too. Tell us just a bit about the transition for you. Now it's been a couple of years, so Neodesha's more familiar anyway. What was it like at first, you looking back, and then how the transition's been kind of along the way?
When we first moved here, our oldest son, Emmett, was 9.5 months old. And so I was still adjusting to motherhood. Moving to Neodesha was the first time that I was getting to stay home as a mom completely. I'd been working part-time still as a nurse when we were in Kansas City. And so there were a lot of just typical life transitions in the midst of a new ministry and a new community. So I think the hardest thing for me initially was just not knowing that many people. Our church is older, and so I didn't know people my own age and other women with children. And that was something that was really important to me, was just to connect with other women and make friends. And so that first summer, I really just kind of, I did a lot of settling. I was home with Emmett a lot and unpacking and getting the house set up still, and staying out of the heat. But then I connected with some people through Facebook. I advertised to start a new moms group, a MOPS group at the time in town. And so I met some friends through that before the group even started. And that was a real encouragement, just on a social level, to have people to relate to and not feel as lonely. And then once that started, I'd say I personally probably felt settled here at that point once I had more of a community.
That is so important, I think, for a pastor's wife, and especially starting out, to get some community in the church, outside too, which we can talk about. But I think there's maybe students who listen to this, and it's just an important word to try to get some connections in the church and feeling like there are relationships, ladies, that you can share life with, laugh with, cry with when you need to, get local advice about, you know, what's going on, what are the traditions of the church and of the community itself. Because a pastor's wife, in many churches, some of the traditions that the church has, she can be a part of that, and it can be helpful and nuance that and make it their own as well. So your mom's group, catch us up on that. How has that progressed, and how has that blessed you over these couple of years?
We're still a pretty small group, which I think that alone took me some time to get used to. I was just used to bigger gatherings of women in Kansas City. We've typically, this year, we have probably an average of 4 people at a meeting. Last year, it was more like 8. But there, I'd say, are 11 or 12 women who are involved in the group, and we meet if the pandemic is not going on. We would meet twice a month. This year has been different, and we've had to be a lot more flexible and schedule certain meetings and whatnot, understandably. But we come together for a time of eating and fellowship, and then we're trying to get better about prayer, and we listen to a podcast from Risen Motherhood, and they've got discussion questions built right in with their podcast, and they're really theologically sound, and so we'll listen to that together and then discuss the questions. And we've got someone there for childcare or a couple of volunteers. So it's been a good time to just have some girl time without our kids, but also to be investing in each other spiritually. And most of us are from different churches, actually, and different denominations. So that's been an interesting component as well.
unpack that for a minute. And then David, I want to come back and ask you kind of that same question, just Christian fellowship outside of your church or other pastors you might see. And then I want to think again further about just First Southern, where you're at and so forth. But Lauren, that's an interesting note here. So your mom's group has ladies from different churches. How has that been for you?
I think the further into it we get, the more we see it impacting us. Initially, people are just really excited to have other women, but I think we all came to it with different expectations and not realizing how different our backgrounds may be. We've got a Lutheran pastor's wife, and so she and I actually talk a good bit about differences in our churches, and that's been a really healthy relationship. But yeah, we've got a Methodist gal, some people from a Christian church, someone who is in a home church that's non-denominational, another First Southern gal, but she's in a different town. Well, actually two different Southern Baptist girls in two different towns. So they kind of, the Lutheran pastor's wife comes from an hour away. So we've really got a pretty broad spread geographically. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, everyone's just wanting to come together and grow in their faith together. They're not debating anything, so it really hasn't been an issue. I mean, I just speak the truth, and no one has had any qualms.
It's great. That can just be helpful for you to have some fellowship outside, you know, of the of your own local church and getting to connect in that way. David, how about you? I know you've mentioned in our conversations other pastors in the area and so forth.
Yeah, well, just was able to meet Coulter Connor, you set me up with his information, and that was really encouraging to connect with him. Coulter's in the PhD program, New Testament at Midwestern, and just recently came to pastor in Altamont. They live in Parsons, but not that most people listening will know the difference between those two places, but that's about a 30-minute drive away from us. His church, I guess, is 40 minutes, but that was good to connect with him. There's a pastor and his wife whom we've gotten to know pretty well at the First Southern Baptist Church in Independence, Kansas, and Independence is kind of the closest bigger town. What's Independence like?
10,000,
a little bit more maybe. But Independence from Little House on the Prairie fame and certain other things. But yeah, have gotten to know them, which has been good. I'm also involved with the Ministerial Alliance here in Neodesha, and we actually meet tomorrow. We meet once a month, and we'll occasionally do a Ministerial Alliance service. And basically, it's just the pastors in the town getting together to sort of pool resources and sort of stay in touch with each other. And it's been good. We meet together, we'll read a passage of scripture, and kind of similar to Lauren's group, we haven't had debates. It's kind of not about that. It's more, okay, here's a group of pastors that can have fellowship. They have differences in various things, perhaps denominationally, but we can band together and collect funds to help the poor in the area and things like that. So
that's great. Well, let's think about ministry there at First Southern with your leadership there. When you first arrived, so this is a couple of years ago, late May, starting into June, I know we had talked before that you were wanting to start preaching through books and just try to establish that. And you chose to preach through Matthew. What was that like early on to kind of establish a routine? And then specifically in Matthew, what was it like for you? What was it like for the church?
Well, first I kind of did 5 weeks where I was trying to just set a framework for what's really most important in ministry. And so kind of like MCC has the four emphases, I basically did that and kind of just tried to set that as a framework, but kind of prepare them each week, like, okay, this isn't the way I'll typically approach something. Even when I did those messages that were just passages here and there, I tried to make sure, like, okay, I want us to understand this in context. I'm not preaching what I just like would like to preach that day, but would like God to have the word from beginning to end. So, I mean, that was received well. I kind of was expecting people to, I guess, be like, oh, this is different, sort of not really knowing much about expository preaching. Haven't really gotten a lot of that, though. So I think most of the comments that I received and still do are, you know, people just appreciative of how I'm able to make a connection they didn't see before, or teach them something new, or one thing that's really big is just using illustrations. So connecting things to history, I try to do that a lot. Sometimes to current events, but usually with things that have happened in the past. But yeah, getting into Matthew was good. I was kind of expecting people to have more of an adjustment period to it. But like I said, if there was one, it wasn't really verbalized. So, but it was good. We spent about a year and a half in Matthew total, and tried to cover more ground rather than less, unless I was in a specific area like the Sermon on the Mount. I tried to slow down and really keep the big picture in mind, but really try to get the Sermon on the Mount right and its importance. So
fun to hear you just reflect on that. When you look back, what do you think, stood out to you most preaching through Matthew? What did you gain as the preacher?
I think just how nuanced Matthew is. There's a part, speaking of the Sermon on the Mount, when, you know, Jesus says that until heaven and earth pass away, you know, what, not one jot or tittle or, you know, whatever the translation is, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law. And then he uses a second until all things are fulfilled, or come about. And there's just lots of things in Matthew that are kind of like that. It's like, yeah, this isn't changing, but by the way, things are going to be fulfilled. So there's sort of a tension in that verse and all kinds of other places, thinking about the scribe trained from the kingdom brings out what is new and what is old. Sort of this tension for Matthew between, listen, nothing has changed from the scriptures for them, the Old Testament, but since Jesus is here, everything's different. And just the way Matthew is sort of able to sort of craft a sphere, not a two-dimensional circle, but a sphere that has shading. And it's hard to sort of just, you know, flatten it out as a two-dimensional image. So there's that. And then that functions the same way with discipleship in Matthew. So you'll have passages. I noticed that Jesus would say something about the costly demands of discipleship. And then like immediately after, he would talk about the extreme grace that he had brought. And I was just thinking as I was preaching through it and kind of trying not to, you know, not to take like a decade to go through Matthew, but to go through it a little more quickly, I was able to show people, okay, you have this passage here and then this one right afterward that seems to be saying something completely different. And so I think a lot of times people in the church and even many Christians who are seasoned believers have a hard time holding in tension this it's all grace on the one hand, but on the other hand, this is really costly. It demands everything of me, but you know, it's not at all about me. It's about what Christ has done. So
I love
very nuanced.
Yeah, I love listening to you just reflect on that and those nuances. I've preached through Matthew and see those same ideas, and it's very fun to just listen to you talk about that. Want to have listeners just get into your routine a little week, because you're preaching, obviously, when you preach, you're studying that as we have heard here, but you're also doing some other teaching. You got Sunday night, Wednesday night. How do you rotate through that? What's that like for you?
Well, Monday is my day off, so that's been kind of nice to just after Sunday, you know, morning and evening to wind down and just kind of have a family day. And so there's Monday. Tuesday is all dissertation work. So I really need that one day that's just, okay, I can spend the whole day working on that. So I really don't get started until Wednesday, which makes it kind of challenging at times because I've got Wednesday night to prepare for. And there have been a couple of times when I've, you know, come kind of right up on the wire to when our Wednesday night service is going to start and been still kind of like getting the last bits together. But I'm generally in a routine now where we're doing church history on Wednesday nights. So I'll have basically set out, you know, I'm going to read a chapter of Justo Gonzalez's Story of Christianity, might supplement that with another book that I have by Bruce Shelley. I don't know if you're familiar with, what's it called? Church History in Plain Language.
Yes.
Have you read it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he just, it's really well presented, but I haven't read the whole thing, but I'll supplement that. And just kind of try to take people through a period of history and point out the implications, why it's important for us to think about and not just, you know, stick with our Bible and then what we have experienced ourselves. So that's been good. I can generally come up with something for Wednesday night, just on Wednesday. So that means usually I haven't started sermon prep until Thursday, at least with the routine that I've gotten into. So Thursday is just all about, well, Thursday morning is dissertation. So I try every morning to work on my dissertation a little bit. And then in the afternoons until about 6 o'clock, usually that's all sermon prep. So just kind of trying to figure out the structure of the passage I'm looking at. That's always goal number one. If I'm starting into another big unit of thought in the book, then I try to map that out generally and then go back to the passage that I'll probably be preaching and just figure out the structure of that. So Thursday is that. Then Friday, I try, first in teaching prep, I try to actually start getting a handle on Sunday evening. And I'll try to get basically the verses that I'm going to use. I've been on Sunday evening going through the Bible kind of in a big picture sort of way. So like, we'll just take like 4 or 5 chapters of Jeremiah is what we're in right now. But I've gone from Genesis, kind of started chronologically, skipped ahead to the prophets when we got through to the end of 2 Kings. But I'll try to just take a big chunk. And so Friday, I'm trying to just figure out, okay, what's my unit of thought here, or unit of the book, and then try to figure out what verses I'm going to use, because I have to get those to the our multimedia person who projects the verses during the service. So Friday I'll try to get a handle on that and then return back to the Sunday sermon a little bit, flush that out, and then Saturday is just kind of finalizing the morning sermon and whatever else I have going on. Usually it's pretty flexible that I can throw that in on Saturday. And then Sunday is morning sermon, and then Sunday afternoon I finish up for the evening. So
yes, there's a puzzle for every pastor. Okay, here are the number of tasks, right, I have to do. Here are the number of meetings I need to lead or people, and I've got to preach. And so how I put all this together, and what you have is your core to get the teaching done, and the routines for study and sermon preparation and all, and putting things around that, all goes together. Just reflect for a minute, David, leading meetings, leading a church. I want to just ask for some advice here. So you're talking, let's say, to, there's some young pastors at MCC or others who may listen, 3-4 pieces of advice, leading meetings, leading a church just coming in.
Okay, 3 or 4, huh? So my first thing about meetings would be have a reason for your meeting. So even if you want a routine meeting, it has to be worth people's time to be there. So I try not to overschedule meetings personally. I know some people might say, you know, we need to meet this often. And I think that's important too, to touch base. But yeah, I try not to, you know, get together with the deacons or something for a meeting unless we have something substantial to talk about or we really do need to meet. So I guess that's one thing. Another thing that I guess is related to that is just be prepared, have direction to your meeting, so you're not just kind of like, well, here's something to talk about. Well, what do you guys think? But sort of, I think leading part of that naturally is, okay, I have a direction in mind and I want feedback with what I'm thinking. So that's another thing. And then you mentioned just kind of leading church generally.
Yes.
The church generally. About Sunday school? Oh, that would be good. What about it?
Just the transformation you've seen.
Yeah. I think, you know, just the ins and outs of ministry. By nature, ministry is a repetitive thing. I heard Al Mohler say one time, you know, it's easy to feel in ministry. It's just words, words, words. What are my words doing? But just the repetitive nature of ministry and sort of showing up to do your job and doing it well over and over again, letting that and your life, you know, your life and your doctrine, as Paul tells Timothy, letting that continue has been encouraging, because, you know, when we got here, the Sunday school hour was largely talking about politics. And now, I mean, it's kind of rare almost to hear someone mention politics. So they're in the Bible, they're talking about it in ways that are really surprising. You know, people will say things that I just stop and think, like, you wouldn't have said that 2 years ago or even a year ago. So I think, yeah, just the routines of ministry, establishing with people that you're going to show up and do your job well, that they can trust you as a teacher, and that you have integrity as a human being. Establishing those relationships is incredibly important. So.
Boy, that's rich, David. I'm happy to hear you say that. I know you practice it, and it's fun to think about the transformation of those people's lives. And sometimes we think, am I really making a difference here? But then you step back, and 2 years ago, it wasn't that way. And now there's a weekly gathering that has a completely different focus and tone than it did 2 years ago. And that's fun to think about. Well, your ministry is making an impact, but so is your family, and your family has grown since you've been there. Lauren, catch us up on Nora. We are recording here on April 9. Her birthday is April 10 tomorrow. And catch us up on her.
She is 19 and a half months younger than her brother. So between the two of them, I'm busy. They're a lot of fun. Nora is walking now, and she loves food. I would say that is her primary motivation in life, is getting to eat. She and Emmett are best friends, and it's really fun if we're out in public somewhere. Like, we went to lunch with some people, and someone was walking around with Nora because she was kind of tired of sitting in one place. And Emmett was eyeballing that woman. He was so worried about what she was doing with his sister. And then last night, we were at a baseball game, and Emmett walked away, and Nora was the same. She was really concerned that he left. So it's been really fun to see just the friendship that they've already formed. We're just really thankful for that. We've hoped that our kids would be good friends. But Nora is, she's spunky and not afraid to assert her opinion. And we're really excited to see how her personality develops.
That's great. Well, I asked David a couple pieces of advice there. Lauren, would you want to share a word or two for pastor's wife going into a new church, new situation? What would you say after looking back now almost 2 years?
I'd say just remember that your first ministry is your husband and your children. And to advocate for your husband as well. I think it's easy to feel insecure as a pastor's wife because you're aware of people's reactions and responses and probably overanalyzing them. So David's shaking his head yes. So just remember that's not your job, but your job is to support your husband and to encourage him spiritually, to pray for him, to give him scripture that encourages him, and just to walk right with the Lord yourself.
Such great insight and encouragement from both of you here with these words of advice, and I think it's going to be a blessing. It's been fun to chat with you, David and Lauren, and to think about the Lord's work there. I look forward to just hearing further progress and what the Lord's doing among you. And as we look to getting out of COVID and all of that, getting back to normal ministry and continue to establish patterns for you all. So thanks for being on the Voices of MCC podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Well, friends, I want to thank those who make this possible, Alex Volkman for producing it, Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for the music on the front side and the back side. Until we get to chat again, the Lord bless and keep you.